WIBC, Indianapolis.
Hello, DXers. Welcome to your February 2002 Market Scope. I'm the intro guy, Phil Wayne. Last month, Mike Terry of Bournemouth, Dorset, England, took us across the FM band, and now Nicholas Vaughn Baker gives us a partial medium wave band scan from Lee-on-Sea, Essex. Nicholas, take it away.
Hello, this is Nicholas Vaughn Baker from the British DX Club with a quick scan of medium wave stations as heard at his home in Lee-on-Sea, Essex, England, in October 2001. Frequencies are given in kilohertz.
558, 1 kilowatt, Spectrum Radio International, Crystal Palace in London. Music, news and information for our ethnic communities.
8770, that's 8579-7700.
I'll include Royal Marine and Commando units. Corporal Mark Spence is in Oman. He says they're ready for the onset of winter.
It's not really to change from a hot climate such as the desert to work in the mountainous region.
Over to the Irish Free State now, 567 RTE, Radio 1 from Tullamore.
That was conceded by Kevin Toulis, but he just felt there should be maybe a realistic debate as to, you know, what perhaps fraction of arms have been destroyed by the IRA.
Well, there will be journalistic speculation, but as the Shanty Commission has made very clear.
Over to France now.
Radio Bleu in Paris on 864 kHz.
Le command de Daniel Alary.
A local radio station now, BBC Essex on 729 kilohertz.
Wouldn't buy French Golden Delicious, would they?
Yep,
it was immaterial,
right,
that they actually were coming from not just France, they were coming from other parts of the world as well. And we actually, French Golden Delicious as an apple is in some ways not a bad apple.
Over to Belgium now, on 61 kilohertz, RTBF La Première. Coming up in just one moment, please.
Couvrir d'autres musiques, que ce soit le jazz, le folk ou le rock ou le hard rock, oui.
D'ailleurs, vous écrivez sur le petit communiqué de presse une belle phrase qui est de vous, c'est beau la musique, trois petits points, elle nous fait rêver parce que, trois petits points, le rêve...
On a frequency of 675, over to Holland now, Radio 10 FM from Lopik. Lopik playing oldies and contemporary music. BBC Radio 5 live on 693 with this afternoon's football match commentary.
Jan Solskjaer, wonderful goal. It was certainly worth the share of the spoils.
Thank you very much indeed, Jimmy. Leeds in the end might feel a little disappointed having taken the lead with only 13 minutes to go. Overall, perhaps 1-1. Is the right sort of scoreline from the game, but more food for thought here for Sir Alex Ferguson. His European system really didn't work again. Only when that man Solskjaer came on.
Over to France again, Radio Bleu from Rouen, 711 kilohertz.
Et tout de suite, vous retrouvez Sylvia Favre.
Merci beaucoup, Olivier. Prochaine édition à 8h. Un point météo et circulation, vous l'avez bien compris, avant les départs en vacances ou à cause des départs en vacances, c'est dans quelques minutes.
Un peu parti, un peu nage, descendant la voie de jazz.
on 747 kHz, Holland's Radio 1 from Flevoland.
Hij dan met de voorpoten zo er tussendoor met het zand.
Dat is een hond. Ja. Zeg maar, gewoon van voren naar achter doorschuiven. Ja, en ze staan dus ze kunnen op de achterpoten staan. En dan ondersteunen ze met hun staart.
Ja.
From my location in Southeast England, Spanish stations often come in very clearly. Here are three. All appear to be broadcasting the same program. First of all, 585 from Madrid.
Claro objetivo es no se trata solo de añadir más años a la vida, sino ciertamente de añadir también más vida a los años. Dentro de ese contexto y tratando de ver cómo.
On 639 kHz from La Coruña.
El documento del secretario general de Naciones Unidas enfatiza como una serie de áreas de atención especial que se pueden resumir.
And finally, 684 kHz from Seville. In this last recording, you'll hear severe interference from a station in the UK. And what I'm doing now is to endeavour to obliterate the UK signal and bring in the Spanish station by revolving my set.
South End United last season with Stafford Rangers at Park Lane. Harlow Town, 70s Cup heroes with wins over Leicester City and South End at the Sports Centre.
Nulling out the UK station, but with limited success. Moving up the kilohertz dial now, 1359. Let's listen to Classic Gold from Shilton, 0.270 kilowatt.
Great music. It's the station WOVE, the no repeat workday, 9 to 5. It's Classic Gold. Good morning then. Hi, it's Dave James here. Also, around the world, all the W's dot classicgold.musicradio.com if you're on the internet. And Sky Digital, channel 859, if you have a mini dish, of course. And AM transmitters right across the country as well. That's how you hear us. This is ABBA, SOS on Classic Gold.
Another UK station now on 909 kHz, Radio 5 Live.
To you.
Good afternoon to you. Welcome to a lovely, sunny, though rather chilly Belmont Park. They say a typical fall day here. You know, those autumn days which are pretty chilly but pretty sunny as well.
This is the first big sporting event in New York since the atrocities. So yeah. What's the atmosphere like?
Well, there's a lot of the prize money that owners and trainers hope to be winning tonight will be going to the Heroes Fund, and the meeting being run with them very much in mind. People from the police department and the fire department were involved in the opening ceremony here, one of them singing the American National Anthem, which was listened to in complete silence on the race course. And so just like the city of New York, it's remembering those events that took place on September the 11th, but also determined to keep life going as well.
Another local radio station, Radio Cambridgeshire, on 1025 kilohertz, with traffic reports and identification.
40 problems there. If you spot a queue out on the roads, then call us on the BBC Radio Cambridgeshire travel line on 0500 82 73 62. This is Joe Talbot for BBC Radio Cambridgeshire travel. BBC Radio Cambridgeshire, 96 and 95.7 FM.
About 7 minutes of the phone in left, plenty of calls to get through, so we'll crack on. Just let me remind you, Mike Liggins is your host between 6 and 9, featuring the Where Am I Now competition and a great mix of contemporary music.
And now into Central Europe on 11:34, a Croatian station at Zadar.
Htio prošlu noć promatrao. Cijelo ste mirno, oči su vam bile zatvorene. I nisam vidio vaš pogled, ali osjećao sam da sve vidite i sve znate.
And a short distance away on the dial on 11:39, I think this must be Swedish radio.
века. Но фестиваль русско-балтийского танца, который открылся в Данцинске в среду, особенный.
One of the strongest French signals received here at Lyon C, Radio Bleu Lille from 1377 kHz.
Qui est donc ce cardinal Lemoine qui a laissé son nom à une station de métro de la ligne numéro 10? Jean Lemoine, à la fois chanoine et docteur de l'Université de Paris.
Back home now to BBC Radio Essex on 1530 kHz, an appeal for children in need.
BBC Children in Need appeal, let us know about it. Email details of your event to essex.cin@bbc.co.uk or phone the BBC Essex helpline on 01245 348 348.
Travel news from BBC Essex.
Joe Tilbert with the latest travel information. Good news on this Saturday evening. No incidents or accidents reported to...
On 1602 kHz, another Spanish station from Vitoria.
Ya ver eso, el año que viene, cómo sale esta nueva jornada, ya quinta campaña de apadrinamiento.
Eso es gracias a ti y ya os contaré más cosas de cómo sale esta campaña.
Finally, a couple of DX... Just to show how conditions can change, a few years ago, I tuned into Radio Scotland, a few hundred miles north of here, on a frequency of 810.
BBC Radio Scotland News at 6:15.
A lovely clear signal from Radio Scotland with news in Gaelic a year or two back. Last night I traded the same frequency about the same time. And what did I hear? Interference from another Spanish station.
Encima del larguero de la portería de Junior Lopetegui y luego precisamente Romero presiona en banda izquierda. Pedagón se plantó en el circo de área y la...
Ah, well, you win some and you lose some, as they say. Nicholas Hornbaker now, having come to the end of his allotted time, sends his greetings from the UK to you all in the States. There have been so many hundreds of stations we could have listened to together. We are indeed very fortunate in this country, living so near to a continent and able to bring in their stations very often quite clearly. Best wishes for now. And until next time, goodbye.
Thank you, Nicholas, for letting me know what my ICF 2002 would sound like almost halfway around the world. If you've had thoughts about doing a market scope or sending along a bit of outstanding radio from your area, here's my address. Phil Wayne, 1872 Myers Road East, Marion, Ohio 43302-9160. All of us here at the DX Audio Service are very grateful for the many contributions we've received here over the past 17 years. Be back next month with more neat radio stuff. Now here are musings from the members.
Hello, my fellow DX. This is Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. I want to thank Clarence Cordray in Cincinnati for a very nice call the night before U.S. Thanksgiving and telling me, among other things, about the Roy Acuff tribute that would be on WSM the next night, and that he's going to get a Justice antenna thanks to my success with it. I really appreciate that, and I tried to call Clarence on his birthday. We had a little bit of a problem there, but I want you to know I'm thinking about you and thank you. WWVA Wheeling, West Virginia, celebrated their 75th anniversary on December 13th, and I called down and congratulated them. KDKA Pittsburgh, John Cigna, will retire after New Year's Eve, so I'm going to try to tune in on that last program. Some of the DXing I've been able to do, I've picked up a couple of stations out of Bangor, Maine, one on 910 that carries Boston Celtics basketball, and I think they're a Music of Your Life station, and one on 620 that's with ESPN. Also recently, on a Saturday, I picked up a 660 religious station just outside of Columbus, Ohio. I don't remember what it is. I used to get it in Cincinnati sometimes, and also the Bob on 1160, a sports station in Florence, Kentucky, just outside of Cincinnati, which is less than 1,000 watt station. I want to wish everyone a whole lot of good DXing in 2002 as I plan to continue.
This is Tim Hendel. I thoroughly enjoyed the DXpedition in Newfoundland and the stations that were heard. However, I couldn't help but notice how many of the stations in Europe seemed to be playing American-style rock music, exactly the same thing I could hear on my local rock stations, and I find this very sad. In the early 70s, I visited Eastern Europe, and you could tune up and down your radio dial at that time and hear all kinds of local music from whatever country you were tuned to. I visited Germany again in 1994 and noticed that more and more and more, all you hear is American rock music. And in my opinion, that sure makes the radio a lot more boring.
This is Russell Fry in Indianapolis, Indiana, and as to be expected, we have a format change here in Indianapolis. And the reason I say as to be expected is because on November the 19th, 93.9, which for the last 4 years or so had been known as the Bear, a young country-sounding radio station, went all Christmas. 24 hours a day and became the Christmas channel. Well, December 25th at 7 p.m., they, of course, dumped out of the Christmas and went to, no, not back to country. They went to an all-80s format. They are now known as 93.9, the 80s station. So we'll see how long this works or not. They still have problems with the signal getting into Indianapolis real well, and they also being a narrow-niched format. We'll see if it makes or not. The only thing is that they don't have any competition. There were two other stations that were doing 80s on weekends and doing it very well, but decided to dump out of it and become 90s and today for music. And a friend of mine works at one of those stations, and they got a lot of complaints over it. So, you know, there is no one else doing the 80s music. So, you know, if you want to listen to it, that's where you're going to go. So it'll be interesting to see if they're successful or not. But that happened, it was supposed to have happened at midnight on the 26th, going into the 26th, but they went ahead and did it at 7 p.m. on the 25th at night.
Hi, this is Deb called back from Des Moines, Iowa, and I just finished the December issue of DXAS. And Tom Jackson, I would like to comment on why stations play the same oldies over and over and over. We have one here in Des Moines that I don't think does. For instance, between Christmas and New Year's, it took them several days, but they went through their whole oldies library from A to Z. And also, they have a lot of neat extra songs in their 12-hour rotations. Now, Fred, I have a question for you. The 1390 frequency here in Des Moines has been not used for several years. What is its status? Does somebody own it? Did they give it back to the FCC? Let me know.
This is Bob Antonick from Clifton, New Jersey, responding to Wayne Ryan's query in Ontario about the New Jersey station on 1500. That radio station is WGHT in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. In fact, I work at WGHT as a part-time sportscaster. I'm known on the air as Bob Anthony, and you might have heard my voice at some point during that football broadcast on that Saturday in November. We're a kilowatt daytimer on 1500 kilohertz, and we do a lot of North Jersey sports on Saturday afternoon. So that's the station you heard, WGHT, Pompton Lakes, New Jersey.
Hi, this is Mike Lance at 27 minutes past 12 o'clock on this Monday, December 31st. Radio history has been made in Miami. Radio station WTMI 93.1 has dropped its classical format for not talk what everybody wanted, rather, but to, would you believe, a party station? Yes, that's right, I said a party station. Mike Disney thought that WTMI was going to be known as the talk of the town, and he said that's what it would be, but WTMI has become a party station with today's hit music, and the classical people in South Florida are literally upset about the whole thing.
This is Tim Hendel reporting in on New Year's Eve. A lot of us, be we liberal or conservative, like tradition when it comes to radio, and I know I do. BBC World Service is doing its best to throw away and ruin all of its traditions, whether or not they have something better to put in its place. For many, many, many years, New Year's Eve at midnight Greenwich Mean Time has been the 16 chimes of Big Ben and then the 12 hourly strikes, or peals as they're called. Well, those of you who listen to BBC know that they've been trying to do away with their traditions, and they halfway did away with it. They did the 12 strikes, but not the 16 chimes. I'm disappointed. I hope you are, too.
Happy 2002. Good morning, Josh Owens, on this January the 1st, 2002, from beautiful downtown Reidsville, North Carolina. Got a comment and a question. Comment on the radio scene in our local area. A station has gone Spanish that has been taught for only 2 years. WWBG, 1470 AM, has now gone Spanish as of this morning. I haven't been able to tell if they've changed their call sign or not. I haven't listened that much to it, but it's been in the paper for the past few days, and they've made it official this morning. They changed to Spanish. They're simulcasting with WTOB 1380, which is a Spanish station in Winston-Salem, and that's a growing format in our area now. The question is, I want to know if anybody can find out anything about a shortwave station I've been hearing on 5.085 WWRB. Worldwide Radio Broadcasting is what they say. They're out of Manchester, Tennessee. This is the old WGTG. The same fellow that runs it, I'm assuming. But if anybody can find any information for me, I'd greatly appreciate it. Leave it on the Muse or get it to Fred or something. Thank you much. Have a good day, and God bless you is my prayer.
Hello and Happy New Year. This is Dale Ham calling from Texas. Hi, Fred, and everyone on the DX Audio Service. Between Christmas and New Year's and my visit to Birmingham, Alabama, I did a little DXing there and was quite surprised. I picked up two Toronto stations, and one of them was on TNT, and I think the call sign was CHWO, and I was scanning the shortwave band looking for something, and had heard them on 6040, and the ID there is 1010, so I flipped my Sony 2010 quickly to 1010, and there they were, just as clear as they could be. And the other Toronto station was CFRB, I think. I believe it's 740. I don't keep up too much with my frequencies and call signs like I do, but they were very clear. Did hear WBAL one evening, and they were clear enough to hear an ID, and heard WTOP on 1500, and about five or six different Texas stations on 740. I was getting the usual stuff, the Tulsa, KTRH Houston, and then the Toronto station, I believe. And just wanted to report that, and I'll speak to you all later.
Hey, everybody. This is Audrey Levine in New York City. But I spent my vacation at my mom's house in Monticello, New York, where I have my roof antenna, and I discovered that Oldies 99, WODE in Allentown, Pennsylvania, is no longer WODE, or they may still use the call letters, but they go by the Hawk, and they play rock, classic rock hits, like oldies, just rock oldies, I guess you can call them. Anyway, so that must have happened sometime between my visit at Thanksgiving and holiday vacation. Also, Mike Terry did an excellent job, and I do want to hear more, but he didn't say how we can contact the British DX Club. Mike, if you hear this, would you email me, please, at Audrey, A-U-D-R-E-Y, at A-J-L-Music, M-U-S-I-C, .com. Okay, or, that's probably the easiest way. Or anyone else of an international nature, like Mr. Ryan. I'm looking for XX from Ontario as well. So phone number is 212-614-8764, address 451 East 14th Street, Apartment 3A, New York, New York, 10009. Have a nice, happy new year, everybody.
Hello, this is Fred Moe from New Hampshire, and I just wanted to say I really enjoyed the January 2002 edition of the DX Audio Service. I really appreciated the annoying music show feature. I actually have some of those records in my collection, and I wanted to let DX Audio Service members know that there is an hour-long program of that type of music called Incorrect Music on WFMU, which is an FM station in New Jersey. And I believe it's available on the internet at wfmu.org. So happy New Year, everybody, and great DXing.
Hello, this is Mike Blank. I was just in Connecticut, and if I had known you needed a thing for 690 WADS, I would have recorded it for you if I could. They've gone Spanish, and I think sometimes Portuguese. Second, 730 WGSM Huntington, which used to be country and then was broadcasting simultaneous with WHLI, is now broadcast. Well, they were off the air when I got back. On the 19th, they were off the air completely. And then they were, came back on the 20th broadcasting in some oriental language, which I assume is Korean. For some reason, it doesn't sound like Chinese, and they're broadcasting with another station that starts with a WZ, but I've forgotten the call letters. Maybe Audrey Levine or somebody can, in New York can tell you what it is.
Hi there, Mike Dukin calling from Hayward, Wisconsin on Wednesday, January the 16th with a couple of items. I listened to this month's audio service, and I especially enjoyed Ken Honest Chuck's reading of the Rhythm Blues disc jockeys, the early ones and the stations that they were on. And this brought this to mind. Back in the early to mid-50s, Mutual used to syndicate a program that had the Rhythm and Blues disc jockey, and we had a couple of stations up here that, believe it or not, used to bring this program at, if you can believe this, 10:30 on Saturday mornings. I don't know where it originated from. The announcer, I think his name was either Les McLean or Wes McLean or a name that sounds like it. Does anybody know? Or does anybody know where it originated from? And secondly, on a completely different topic, there's been quite a bit of media attention, coverage and press coverage, and not only in the Nashville papers, but also on National Public Radio's All Things Considered, on Glenn Hauser's World of Radio, and in his supplement, DX Listening Digest, on the fact that WSM in Nashville might change their format as they are possibly being sold to ESPN. Country music fans and a few singers have been actually protesting in front of the WSM headquarters. Does anybody know about that or can comment on that on the next issue?
Hello, my fellow DXers. This is Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, I was disappointed on New Year's Eve morning that I couldn't pick up KDKA well enough to hear John Segnet's last program, but CFRB and WBZ kind of made a sardine sandwich out of it and kept it out. I heard a very sickening rumor that I'm glad it's not true, it lasted for 10 or 11 days, about WSM possibly dropping their country format and the Grand Ole Opry and syndicating it to some FM stations. However, thank goodness the idea was played down. I picked up CJAD Montreal on 800 a couple of mornings. That's kind of noteworthy because it doesn't usually get up here. It was running right over CKLW in Windsor. I picked up a station on 790, WAEB. It's kind of a talk station somewhere in Pennsylvania. I'd like some more particulars on it. I think I found out about the 980 station was playing country music. It's in Wisconsin somewhere. I had a very nice conversation this past Sunday night with Mike Dunn in Fort Thomas, Kentucky, whom I've met at the last couple of conventions, and it was most enjoyable. In our area, two stations in Hamilton are celebrating important anniversaries this year. 1150 CKOC was Hamilton's first ever radio station. It's having its 80th anniversary. And 900 CHML is celebrating its 75th. I would also like to hear Tim Hendel's appraisal of the Sea Crane radio. And I understand that Art Bell is advertising these Justice antennas on his program at night now. And again, I just got one a few months ago, and it is terrific, trust me. I'm getting some stations three times better than I ever have.
Hello, Fred and fellow DXers. My name is Jim Wisco. I'm from Arcadia, Wisconsin, and this is a little late, but it's still timely. on the 31st of December of 2001, the last full-service radio station in my area, WRDN, AM and FM in Durand, left us. I believe WRDN is still on the AM, but the FM turned to WYLT, and it's now the new Light 95.9 FM. They got bought out by new owners, and the new owners have no spots and just liners between songs, no news anymore, no weather, nothing. It's just a jukebox. So the last full-service radio station that I was able to listen to is now gone. And as of the 20th of January, 21st of January, which is today, they still don't have anything sold. I don't know how long Zoll Communications is going to be able to keep it. This is Jim Wisco from Arcadia, Wisconsin, and I have an addendum to my muse about WRDN, AM and FM in Durand, Wisconsin. I have just discovered that they have taken out, the new owners have taken out the Durand, Wisconsin telephone numbers, as well as the Mondovi, Wisconsin telephone numbers, Mondovi being the county seat of Buffalo County. They used to serve Buffalo and Pepin counties in west central Wisconsin, and the rumor is that they are going to move the city of license to Menominee. The ID still says WYLT, but it says Durand, Menominee, Eau Claire. And when it says what the number's been changed to, it's changed to a Menominee number. Now, this is going to be interesting because they're only just a little over 3,000 watts. And unless they move it, they're not going to get into Menominee all that well. Anyway, my last full-service radio station is gone. And when I try to call them to see what they're going to do, all I get is an answering machine. Thanks to the Telecommunications Act of 1996, everything that wasn't broke has been fixed for the worse. Have a great day, friends. And thanks, Fred, for all you do. Bye-bye.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And if you have something on your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line. And to answer some questions on the musing, let's turn to Deb Kalbeck's question about 1390. That call sign was deleted and the license was canceled, so in effect that took that radio station completely off the map as far as the Federal Communications Commission and FCC is concerned. Now, that doesn't mean that a new 1390 station could not come on the air, but it must meet some engineering criteria in order to do so, and the applicant would have to file before the commission for a new radio station. However, in some cases, that might not work. Take, for example, 1080 down here in western Ohio. The 1080 station in Sidney, Ohio, left the air, never to return. They turned in their license and the call sign for that station. However, during the time that it was made known that they were going to completely dismantle the station, the 1080 station in Owosso, Michigan, decided to jump on the chance to increase their facilities and their power. So, in effect, by Owosso, Michigan, increasing their facilities, that locks out any new chance for a radio station here in West Central Ohio located on 1080. Same applied for the Howell, Michigan station on 1350 when that station went off the air. There was no way for anyone to start a new radio station meeting the engineering criteria. So it all depends upon how you play that chess game with radio frequencies and how the engineering applications come out. On the subject of recording station IDs for John Bowker's travel log, don't always assume that John has those IDs because a lot of times he might not have been through that area, or when he was through the area, might not have been able to get a clean recording of a station. You know what you might want to do or think about sometime is just pick a day, one day out of a year, and sit down and record as cleanly as possible the top of the hour IDs of a lot of your local radio stations, or if you're visiting a friend or somebody in another community who's not a DX Audio Service member, you might want to record all their local stations while you're there and have a chance to contribute to the collection. However, give John a break, okay? Don't just send him a C-120 tape with a bunch of recordings of radio stations. Take the time to edit them down so he has like 30 seconds before the top of the hour and then programming 30 seconds after the top of the hour, and then include an index to the radio stations that you have recorded. That way it's easy to go through the tape. Don't make more work for him. You wouldn't want that to happen to you, would you? Okay. But anyways, put on the IDs and then send them to John Bowker. He has his address on the travel log, and I'm sure you'll make both he and other DX Audio Service members very, very happy. It's time for us to put on our nerdiest pair of glasses and put our pocket protectors in our shirt pocket, because it's time for Target DX, a column written by Russ Edmonds, which appears in DX News Magazine. This column has the premise of you ask the question, and Russ gives you the answer. And if you pay attention, at the end of the column, we'll have Russ's address and information where you can ask him a question for a future edition of Target DX. Question, what aside from noise reduction or reduction of unwanted signal pickup does using a coax line for a long wire do for me if my receiver does not have a coax antenna input? Answer, nothing. Using a coax, if you do have a coax input on your receiver, does not automatically reduce noise in some magical way either. If you can, you should bury your coax, preferably in sealed PVC pipe to reduce noise. Common mode currents can and often do carry noise through the coax mixed with signals. A high impedance isolation transformer reduces or eliminates common mode noise. Another benefit is the reduction of unwanted signal pickup by the line from the antenna to the receiver. Question, if a receiver does have a coax antenna input and also the typical terminal strip, is it a given that the two are wired differently inside the receiver to take advantage of the different impedances? Answer, it's a 50-50 chance. It would be necessary to determine this from either the schematic diagram of the receiver, if you have one, or an actual physical inspection of the circuit. Question, if I have a simple long wire and I tune it using a LC network or two, am I really impedance matching or am I tuning the antenna? Answer, you are impedance matching. You are stepping down the feed point impedance of a high impedance long wire to a low impedance receiver input, but the opposite can also happen. Question, how does one go about estimating the impedance of a random wire antenna when one has no instruments? Russ's answer is, in theory, an N-fed eighth wave wire will have a feed point impedance of approximately 18 ohms. An N-fed quarter wave wire, approximately 36 ohms. An N-fed 3/8 wave wire, approximately 300 ohms. An N-fed half wave wire, approximately 10,000 ohms. Height above ground, surrounding objects, and ground conductivity can change feed point impedance from a theoretical value. With N-fed wires, feed point impedance and radiation resistance is the same thing. Feed the 10,000 ohm N-fed half-wave wire in the middle and it becomes 72 ohms, two wires. Question, could you explain more about what is meant by feed point impedance if my N-fed 100-foot wire, which would be eighth wave or less across the medium wave band, has an impedance of 18 ohms in theory? Then why do they work best with a 4-to-1 RF matching transformer, high impedance windings to the antenna, and low impedance windings to the coaxial lead-in? Can the theoretical impedance actually be as far off as an order of magnitude from reality? Well, Russ's answer is quite extensive. It reads, the prior discussion of feed point impedance is theoretical, in which feed point impedance was treated as pure resistance. In reality, except at exact natural resonance, all antennas have reactance, that is, opposition to flow of current. A long antenna compared to receive frequency has an inductive resistance and needs a series capacitor to tune out reactance and gain a purely resistive feed point impedance. A short antenna is just the opposite. It has capacitive reactance and needs a series inductor. An impedance transformer works both ways. A 4-to-1 impedance transformer can mean 50 ohm coax receiver and 200 ohms antenna impedance feed point, or 50 ohms coax receiver and 12.5 ohm antenna impedance feed point. Your 100-foot antenna, in theory, should work better attached to the low impedance side of the impedance transformer. But if your 100-foot wire is inductively coupled to other nearby antennas and metal objects, the antenna may actually be electrically longer than 100 feet and work better attached to the high impedance of the matching transformer. Also, as far as the coax feed line, it doesn't have to be a coax choke ballon at the antenna feed point. It's acting like part of the 100-foot antenna and is picking up the noise in the radio signals. The coax choke ballon kills common mode currents and stops or reduces noise and signal pickup on the coax. One can use toroidal impedance transformers and coax choke ballons. 30 feet of RG8X on a PVC pipe form with a 3-inch diameter and 8-inch length usually works on the broadcast band, but it is a trial and error thing. Another explanation could be the isolation from the matching transformer. One DXer has used RG58, RG59, RG6, and finds no difference in the feed line as far as the signal-to-noise ratio. The isolation transformer isolates your feed line, so it is as if you moved your receiver out to where your antenna connects. For experiments, he has taken the receiver out and connected it directly to the antenna, bypassing the 75 feet of coax with no difference from what is heard in the house in terms of either directivity or the signal-to-noise ratio or the signal meters. The loss at 1 megahertz, that's 1,000 kilohertz, for even inexpensive coax, RG58 or 59, is so small, under 1 dB, that you can't tell the difference. Question: as you make an antenna longer, when does it go from being electrically long quarter wave to an electrically short half wave? Just wondering, as I've got a longer long wire. Russ's answer: basically at 3/8 wavelength. The formula for a 3/8 wave antenna is 356 divided by frequency. A 3/8 wave has a theoretical end feed point impedance of 300 ohms. So a 4-to-1 impedance transformer would work well. Question: what is the advantage to connecting the coax cable from the antenna to the 50-ohm input as opposed to the 500-ohm one? Russ's answer: coaxial cable is 50 to 75 ohms. So using the 50-ohm input on the receiver allows for maximum signal transfer from the antenna to the receiver. Question: pertaining to the coaxial choke ballon, any particular value associated with it? And how is it connected relative to the transformer? Answer: I don't know the exact amount of inductance needed in the choke ballon for the broadcast band, but 30 to 33 turns of RG8X does the trick, wound on a PVC form with 3-inch diameter and 8-inch length. You don't want to just coil up some coax like you see on beam antennas. That doesn't work correctly. Place the coax choke after the impedance transformer on the receive side. Question: which is better to hear distant stations under local stations? A phasing unit using two loops, or using a loop and a sloper, or two slopers facing opposite directions? Answer: a phasing unit with two opposite facing slopers. This antenna has the best front-to-back ratio and without a phasing unit and captures more low-angle distant stations as they are outside. I have one further question based upon the prior answer. Where would two slopers at right angles to one another fit in terms of performance, realizing that the configuration is sometimes dictated by where the DXer is relative to where the stations are? A DXer located in Florida would be best served by two at right angles, roughly north and west, where TA-only DXer may want northeast and southeast. Answer: I say that two slopers at right angles would be down in some performance, as the receiving beam width would overlap. However, you should see some useful performance when using a phasing device like the MFJ-1026. Really, the bottom line is how many other antennas that you have up in the near vicinity, because they will interact with one another in unpredictable ways. And if you'd like to write to Russ, Russ's address is 753 Valley Road, Bluebell, Pennsylvania, 19422-20. 5252. You can also email Russ at the following email address. His address is wb2bjh@nrcdxas.org. And that's just about it for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. Before we get out of here, a few news and notes. I've been asked about the 2002 National Radio Club Convention, and I promise you that on the next edition of the DX Audio Service, I will have specific details on the 2002 convention. And with airfares absolutely dirt cheap, you're not going to want to miss the 2002 National Radio Club Convention. The 2003 National Radio Club Convention is going to be held in Rochester, New York, and hosted by Scott Feibusch. So you can go ahead and put that one on your calendar. If you'd like to host the 2004 or beyond conventions, you might want to contact Ernie Weselowski. And if you don't have Ernie's address, please contact me here at the DX Audio Service, and I'll pass that on to you. But if you're serious about hosting a convention, first of all, you have to be a member to do that. But contact Ernie, and he'll give you all the details on the information that you need to submit. But I'll have details on 2002 on our next edition. To those of you that live in the United States of America, you notice that you have a different envelope on this edition of the DX Audio Service. We're trying out these envelopes to see how they work. We'll probably use the old envelopes for any out-of-country mailings, just because they hold up better with the customs declaration form. But if you're a United States member, you'll notice that the envelope's a little different. I'd appreciate any comments that you might have on how your tape arrives. And if it arrives even with the stamp canceled, we've noticed that a lot of them are not getting even the stamp canceled, so it makes you wonder. But we'll see how these work. But until next time, we'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, folks, get out and support your local radio club. 73 and good DX. WJBK in Detroit.